And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
I am doing good, thank God. All is good.
That's great. So you want to start with Parshat HaShavua?
We can do whatever you want. We can start with Parshat HaShavua. We can start with Hanukkah. You know what we'll do is we'll do this. Let's do just the Parsha quickly in a nutshell.
Okay.
And then we will try and discuss a little bit about Hanukkah basics, and, you know, Hanukkah observances, and so on and so forth.
From the shell, we will move to the vase.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
So, reading this, we start portion that Yaakov settles in Hebron with his 12 sons, his favorite being, obviously, the 17-year-old Joseph, whose brothers are extremely jealous of the special treatment that he receives from his father, which is that he gets the very famous...
the colored.
Many colored coats.
Yeah.
That Jacob made specifically for Yosef. Now, it's interesting to note that when Yosef was, he was being despised by his brothers, and they wanted to get rid of him. And they, you know, put him in a pit. And when they put him in the pit, they wanted to come back to the father and say, you know, that your father is dead. I'm sorry, that
your
Joseph
son
is dead.
Yeah.
But they had to be able to bring some proof back. So what they did was, is they took a...
the kutone.
The coat, and they dipped it in goat's blood. Now, there's two reasons. Number one, there's one reason why goat's blood, because it's the most common, most connected to human blood, and looks the exact same. And... one of the medrashes, one of the explanations, explained that also Yaakov tricked his father with goat skin, and therefore God did the measure for measure. You tricked with goat skin, you were fooled with goat skin. What did he trick with goat skin when he stole the birthright, the blessing from Esau?
Yeah.
When his father Isaac said, "Come, give me, prepare me food and I'm going
to
bless you."
He wanted to touch him, yeah.
And he came forth and he touched him and he was covered. We're not going to go into the whole story, but he was covered in the goat skin. So because he deceived his father with goat skin, he was fooled with goat skin, and that's one of the reasons why they dipped his colored coat into goat skin. And Yosef relates to his brothers two of his dreams, which foretell that he is destined to rule over them, increasing their envy and hatred towards him. And Shimon and Levi thought to kill him, but Reuben suggests, no, let's put him in a pit instead, and we'll come back later to save him. While Yosef is in the pit, Judah has been sold to the band of passing Ishmaelites, and they come back to the father with the coat that is covered with blood, saying that, you know, he was devoured by wild beasts, so on and so forth. Now, Joseph is taken to Egypt and sold to Potiphar, which is the minister in charge of Pharaoh's slaughterhouses. And God blesses everything he does. As soon as he's made the overseer of all his master's properties, things start to pick up. Businesses start to pick up. And Potiphar's wife desires a handsome and a charismatic person. And when Yosef rejects her advances, she tells her husband that the Hebrew slave tried to force himself on her, and he was thrown into prison. And Yosef gains the trust and admiration of his jailers, who appoint him to the position as the prison administrator. And in prison, Joseph meets Pharaoh's chief butler and chief baker. But, you know, sometimes you see that, you know, you walk down the street and people, you know, would walk just right by you. No one stops, says hello, how are you, good morning. It's like, you think it's like sort of a religious question, or this is like some sort of a crazy thing. You're asking the person, how are you? Good morning. Well, this must be a crazy thing. It's not a normal thing. But if we look, one of the major parts of this week's Torah portion is, and it's played out in such a major biblical narrative, is this idea that Yosef, when he was in prison, saw the chief baker and the butler sitting in jail, all depressed. What are you? He goes up and says, "What are you doing here? Why are you here? How can I help you? How are you?" And because of all that, he starts, you know, interpreting the dreams, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And he tells the butler, "Please make sure that when you get out and you're freed, remind Pharaoh about me, and so on and so forth. But just the mere fact of saying hello, at the end, he was redeemed, and he was taken out. Imagine what we can do. I want people to try this. When you see people going in the street, and someone asks you, how are you? Tell the person you're depressed. See what people are going to say. It's probably just going to fly right over people's heads. They're not going to really care. We, as a human person, you know, you're walking down the street, you see someone, good morning, how are you? You never know what meaning that could happen in someone's life. Now, obviously, we know that Hanukkah is coming up, which is the 8th day festival that life begins on the eve of the 25th day of the month of Kislev, which is Saturday evening, will be the first candle lighting night that we're going to light the first candle. And this celebrates the triumph of light over darkness, of purity over adulteration, of spirituality over materialistic things. And what happened? Well, in 21 centuries ago, the Holy Land was ruled by the Syrian Greeks, who sought to forcefully convert the people of Israel. And against all odds, a small band of faithful Jews defeated one of the mightiest armies on earth. And they drove the Greeks out of the land. Now, when the Greeks were in the land, they desecrated, defiled the holy temple. They brought in sacrificial sacrifices. They brought in pigs. They brought in idols. They ruined everything that they possibly can find. And when they sought to destroy to be one of the most important parts of the Holy Temple, the menorah, they said, well, what if they just destroy the actual candelabra? Big deal. They had to go to the root, the source of what makes the candelabra so important, and they decide they're going to destroy the oil. And they go and, you know, every piece of oil, every jar of oil that was made was only used the first couple of drops from the first olive oil. And from that, it was put into a jar, which was sealed by the high priest, and then that was going to be used
Correct.
And they knew that. And they went and they opened every single small jar that they could possibly find. And when the Jews sought to light the temple's menorah again, they found only a single cruse of olive oil that had escaped the contamination by the Greeks. And miraculously, this was supposed to only last for one day, and it lasts for 8 days. Now, because of that, you know, we commemorate and publicize these miracles that a single flame on the first night, two on the second, and so on till the eighth night, that one flame, one piece of light, and then many, many lights. And with that, you have the 8 days of light. Now, there's a couple of customs, observances that we do on Hanukkah. For example, Hanukkah commemorates an oil-based miracle, which that explains why we eat very oily food.
Yeah.
Some eat fried, you know, potato pancakes known as latkes, while others eat sukkaniyot, deep-fried donuts. Some eat both. And most people survive the holiday, so you know, people that are worried on diets and all that, you know, one or two of these beautiful delicacies of latkes and donuts is a good thing as well.
Yeah, the diet is better to start after Hanukkah.
Absolutely. That is correct. Well said, Ilan. Now, you know, one of the ideas also is we play dreidel. And the Greek oppressors outlawed Torah scrolls, Torah learning, Torah schools. So the children would study in the forest, posting, you know, places where they can get alert when the Greeks are coming. And when the alert came that the Greeks were coming, the children would hide all the textbooks and they would start playing with the dreidel, the spinning top. And we too now play dreidel games on Hanukkah to commemorate the courage of the heroic children. And there are four Hebrew letters on the dreidel. There's the Nun, the Gimel, the Hey, and the Shin, or the hay and the pay, and which is an acronym for the word Nes Gadol Hayashom. A great miracle happened there when we played dreidel. It keeps us mindful of the Hanukkah miracles even during the fun game. Now, in Israel, they have one of the letters is changed.
Hey.
It's not Nes Gadol Hayashom, it's Nes Gadol Hayapor.
Hey, yeah.
Correct. That the miracle happened here. We, in the diaspora in Windsor, we're going to say the miracle happened there, in Israel. But over there in Israel, they say the miracle happened here. So it's a family-oriented holiday where we can play together, where we can have fun together. And then last but not least, we do the Hanukkah gelt. And during Hanukkah, it is customary to give gelt money to the children so we can teach them to give some of it to charity. You know, one of the things that I encourage my kids so much is that besides, you know, that the presents that they're going to get, we specifically give them some money, whether it be $5, $10, whatever it may be, and not necessarily a present on one of the, on that night. And we encourage them that if now you received $10, you're fortunate enough to get the $10. We want you now to go and choose a charity of yourself, find someone that you think needs charity, will help you, and we want you to give some of that. So we try and teach them the idea that it's not only keeping for ourselves that we're happy, we're festive,
it's
also that we're giving it to someone else and we're sharing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the also the very, very important things about Hanukkah. And now talking about Hanukkah, we're days away from the big annual menorah lighting, which is going to be at the Devonshire Mall. It's our fourth year in doing it. And this event is one of the kind. We try every year to make a different menorah. And this year we are making we're going to fill and light hopefully, which we're just about that amount, about 60, 65, 70,000 coin menorah, which will be lit. All proceeds of whatever is being fundraised, what people are going to bring, you can bring all your money if you want, your coins to the mall, is all going to go to benefit Kids Kicking Cancer, a beautiful organization that helps kids that have cancer, through, you know, martial arts and these types of things to help them deal with the pain, to forget about what they're going through for a little bit. And this is going to be Monday, December 10th at 4 to 6 o'clock at the Devonshire Mall in the food court. Dignitaries from the city of Windsor are going to be there. We're going to have the famous potato pancakes, the latkes, and the donuts. And they're going to be crafts for the kids. And there's going to be music. And the event is co-sponsored by Congregation Shara Tzedek, Shara Shemayim, Congregation Beth El, Massey High School got very much involved and did a beautiful fundraiser. So it's open to the whole community. It's free of charge. Please come out, see how the menorah is going to be finished. You know, as people are coming, we're going to be filling the menorah. Let's spread the light, bring happiness and warmth to people in Windsor and in around the world. And through that, we will spread the light throughout the whole world, and we should all have a peaceful and happy Hanukkah.
So, Rabbi, please give me the time again on Monday for the Hanukkah lightning at the Devonshire Mall.
December 10th, Monday at 4 o'clock. It's going to go from 4 to 6 o'clock. We'll approximately light the menorah at about 4:20.
Okay. Very good. So I hope to see you there.
God willing.
And thank you.
Be well and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Be well. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.